Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Thank you so much for coming on the Label Sessions Presents podcast, Jen. We're super excited to have you here. I know Label Sessions, we know you for kind of innovation and setting up a culture of experimentation and innovation within the financial services space. I know that's super broad, so I wondered if you could give us, you know, an introduction about yourself to us, you know, perhaps a backstory about how you got to this point.
So you're quite right. So I head up innovation for a financial services company in South Africa. I've been in financial services now for around about 15 years. So it's been a long time. And prior to that, I was in IT for around about 10 years. So quite a different mix of skills or backgrounds there. So how did I get into all of this? Well, I got into IT when I was very young. I was around about 10 or 11 years old, and I taught myself computer programming. And if you're wondering how that happened by accident. I was actually attempting to fix a friend's computer. We both knew nothing about computers back then. And so we were trying to get a printer to work. So, and back then it was those dot matrix noisy ones, you know, those ones that sound like it's a meat shop. Cut. So we tried to get that thing to work. And what happened is we spent a lot of time doing research about how to get this thing to work, because plugging it in and expecting that it was now going to print just didn't work. So I spent a lot of time reading about, you know, configuration and how do you set this up. And in doing that, I kind of learned a lot about computers by actually trying to fix something that I knew nothing about. And so from there, I eventually got the printer to work. And so from there, my interest in computers just grew. And I, you know, kind of realized that this is something very cool and I wanted to learn more about. So that's how I kind of got started in the IT world. And then realized there were so many different things you could get into. You could do programming, you could do networking, you could do engineering, you could do all sorts of stuff. It was very, very exciting work there. And of course, it was all still pretty new as well. I mean, the internet sort of just kind of, you know, started to go along at that time. And you could see that there was potential and, you know, stuff was going to go somewhere. So I spent about 10 years then in the field of IT from there onward. And I worked for a number of different businesses in different capacities. I taught computers at one point in time. I worked for other IT companies as well. And from there on, I got into financial services. Now, I worked in IT in financial services, and then being exposed to the business, I kind of realized that the business side is actually where I was even more interested to learn about. And so I learned about the business side of things. I got into that and kind of stayed in financial services ever since. So it's been a very, very interesting journey, I suppose.
And then setting up kind of the innovation side of that, I guess, when did that all come out? And when were you like, okay, this is the niche I want to go in within this this industry?
So I think, so from an early age, you know, I was always very interested in innovation. And because of my background in IT, I was always very keen to see, so what's the, you know, what else could you do with computers and technology? And you know, what's the potential of all of this? But there wasn't really any career as such back then. There wasn't anything known like that. You had roles that were pretty straight and narrow. You know, you do A, B, C, and that's it. You don't get to experiment or do different things. But of course, over time, that started to change. And, you know, you saw innovations pop up out of mainly the tech companies and other industries, and sort of realize, but hold on, there is this opportunity. And there are some businesses that are pretty keen on pursuing stuff in innovation. So when I got into the business side of things, obviously with my IT background, I found it a lot easier to get stuff done because I had that technical knowledge of how things could be done probably in a way that would be simpler, or how you could experiment and how you could try different things without, you know, without building enormous business cases or going through lots of processes and that sort of thing. So that's how I kind of, you know, started to bring innovation into it. And from there, I then went on to pursue an MBA in innovation, in leadership and innovation, which I thought then would provide a really good, you know, academic background around this field that I've become very interested in. And so that's essentially what happened. I was also very fortunate because a lot of the stuff I experimented on in previous roles was successful. And so that gave me the credibility to continue to build and to experiment and to try different things, you know, in a business context. So yeah, that's how innovation and financial services has sort of come together. Two very strange worlds.
Yeah, one seems so kind of constantly changing, constantly updating, and the other one is, perhaps it is that, but it's kind of known for its being quite slow and quite, you know, conservative with a small c. But I wonder what's, you know, you mentioned your MBA, but what's keeping you busy right now? I'm guessing you finished that, and what's that kind of led to? What are you building?
Yeah, so now I run around 10 experiments a year. So 10 different projects, basically, that you can call them. Now, they call experiments because in my world, I don't need them all to succeed, although I do need to, you know, explore the possibilities. It's obviously amazing when they do succeed. But it's a case of really looking at what can be done, how it can be done, and what difference it will make to the business. And so that's kind of an ongoing, you know, process, as you can imagine. And then, of course, there's a lot that changes. So what's really exciting is you start with certain projects and you think they're going to go in a certain direction. And then as you go, you know, you pivot, you change your mind about certain things, you find some new information you didn't know about. And so that then takes things in a different direction, which is also very, very exciting, because then you find that, you know, there's possibilities here you didn't think of when you started this. And I think that gives you so much more opportunities. I mean, I could go on about stuff we've started as one experiment that ended up in 5 different experiments, because we've kind of found different things along the way and said, oh, let's try this, let's try that, let's see where this goes. And the best part about it is when you actually achieve it, or you achieve something and you see the value that it delivers back to your customers and to the business. I think that's, you know, that's kind of the validation that we're always looking for.
Well, then on that part, I guess a very topical question, and kind of the one that obviously leads into what's exciting you now in your field? Kind of what are the opportunities that are coming up that you're seeing kind of have the potential for huge change within the financial services industry?
So that's a good question, and it's my response to that one actually is that it is the simplifying of financial services that excites me. So it's an enormously complex industry, as you can imagine. It's very, very complicated. And you often wonder when you're not inherently with that background, you know, I don't have a finance background or an actuarial background or that kind of thing that you would traditionally find, you know, in this industry. You always question why it is so complicated and that obviously leads to the fact that it's such a closed environment as well, because people that work in this industry tend to have a certain background and certain knowledge and that sort of thing. And those that are not from this industry always look at it and say, that's just a complicated place that I wouldn't want to find myself in. I look at it as being a really great challenge, because to give you some idea, for example, in the South African and African context, there's a very low rates of financial literacy. There's very, very low rates of understanding of financial products and services. People know a few things, and there's actually a whole range, right? But they know very little about it. And for me, what excites me is opportunities to really make it easier for people to understand, to do business, to find the opportunities and to see how this can actually make a difference in their lives. So I quite like the challenge of financial services. I've often been told innovating would be easier in retail or in tech or in those areas where they're more open to it. That's probably true, but then I think it makes it even more satisfying when you're able to achieve something in financial services and sort of chip away at that, you know, that legacy kind of the reputation that it has.
And I think you definitely see, like, I know that I'm seeing it in kind of my circles of, there's a lot of kind of new apps or, you know, even within financial institutions that are tackling the kind of financial literacy part, kind of teaching people, well, starting off with the basics and, you know, building up from there. And I think it's a fantastic thing, because then you have more people who are coming in, being able to talk about things, diversifying kind of the people who are using these services. And you know, there's not a downside to making sure the population is more financially literate, you know?
No, definitely.
It's almost more exciting not adding more things and making it more complicated. A lot of people think that that is innovation, but almost simplifying it down and what that means to make something innovative by taking it down a little bit.
That's what it's about, really, for me. It's about how do you make it easier, because it's such a mystery to most people that the worst thing you can do is add more complexity to an already complicated industry. I mean, I find that, for example, new technologies, right, like Bitcoin, blockchain, those sort of things, people only hear the horror stories of how much people have lost and that sort of thing. And for me, it's really worth, you know, getting more people to understand the potential of these things and what it could eventually become, and not to be overly concerned by the detail behind it. I mean, I'll give you an interesting fact. Most people up to now don't understand how money works, right? So most people know that you use money and you trade it to get stuff. Okay. You give, you know, you hand over money and you get some goods or services in return. Very basic concept. But what actually gives money value? You know, how is that decided, and who decides that, you know, a certain amount of money can get you a certain item or get you a certain service? People don't know this. They think that, you know, it's just something that happens. Now, it's very interesting, really. So when you get down to it, you also realize that what happens then is oftentimes people treat finance and money with they look at it the same way that they were taught as kids, and it just continues in that way. So those perceptions become things that you believe, but you don't know why you believe them. It's just what you've been told your whole life. So you think, okay, that must be true. And then you find, well, hold on, it's actually probably not true, you know? Or there might be a better way, or it's actually can be used, you know, in a different way and so on. So, I mean, I often look at credit cards, for example. Everybody, you know, most people in the financial world will tell you credit cards are the worst thing. Don't get involved with it. And that's true to some extent. But then for other people, it has made a huge difference. It's allowed them to set up businesses. It's allowed them to become very, very successful. Now, the question becomes, how can it be bad and good at the same time? The reality is it's not. It's what you were taught about how to use it that made the difference, not about inherently a credit card being good or bad, you know. So these are the sort of things that, that I really enjoy, is these sort of challenges and to look at, so how are we going to, you know, change perceptions about this? So how are you going to build something that people now start to see in a different light, in a different way?
And you must get that from lots of different angles, you know, talking to people who have grown up in kind of with a financial services background versus yourself, who came in through kind of the IT route into this. I was wondering, you know, thinking about the leaders and the people that you work with, what questions do you think that these leaders should be asking themselves right now?
So for me, one of the most important things, I think, Isha, is to look at what is the motive for why you are doing something. And in a business context, it's usually, you know, there are business goals that need to be achieved. And that's fine. But that doesn't really motivate many people. What it actually comes down to is, you know, as businesses and as leaders in business, what are we doing that leaves a legacy that you can be proud of? Because ultimately, nobody ever remembers that, you know, a certain person made $1 billion for a certain company or whatever it is. What people remember is, what did you leave that is of value? That when people look at it, they say, wow, that person really made a difference here. And they did something that, you know, has changed the way people see things. I think that is very important for people to, you know, for leaders to kind of look at. And it's also about, when you do these things, when you have the opportunity to lead or to create change, it's also about creating change, not for the sake of change, and not just because, well, that's going to give you a legacy because you're known as the person who changed stuff. But it's about change that, you know, once again, makes a positive difference to how you found things, and not change just for the sake of change. So I think that's important for leaders to look at, you know, really assess your motives around why you want to change something and what's the driving force behind that.
And that must be so important for you and your role, about kind of pushing that culture of innovation, doing that almost in the right way of like, oh, we're just going to innovate because, you know, it's a good thing to do, and like just tick a box, like you need to do it. It's like almost think about the why when you're explaining why you need to innovate, or trying to convince someone about the new experiment that might be going well, or why they should put money and time into that. So that must be quite challenging in some ways, of kind of going around fostering that culture innovation in the right way.
So I can tell you, so I'll give you a little insight as to, you know, so culture is super important, especially in the corporate environment, and especially when it comes to innovation. There's always, how can I say, it's not trusted, obviously. People don't trust your motives because they say, you seem to have a license to go around doing random things or doing things, you know, and disrupting stuff. And we're not sure how comfortable we are with that, obviously. And so building, what it takes, what I've done actually is I've spent a lot of time building a culture where people feel comfortable and they feel open to being a part of innovation. So from me, it's an open invitation to anybody in the business who wants to be part of innovation in whatever way they want to, whether it's contributing ideas, whether it's advising, whether it's mentoring others, whether it's running with a project, whatever it might be. So I'm always open to that. The other is being very transparent about how innovation works. So I'm very transparent about the fact that we identify ideas, we validate them, meaning that we test to see, you know, does this idea make sense? It's nothing illegal. It's nothing that's going to break something or cause unnecessary chaos. Kind of validate it. And then I look at experimenting on it. So how are we going to experiment? What's the things we can build to demonstrate that this experiment might work, that this idea might actually deliver value? And then the last step is, you know, if it works, implement it. If it doesn't, then we park it and we look at it later and see, you know, is there some other potential for it? Or maybe it's just a bad idea, one of those things. But the point is to be very, very transparent with people around what you're doing and what you're finding and how it's going. Because when people feel that you're an open book about it, then that builds trust. And that builds a culture where people support what you do. If you do things secretively and then you just sneak up on them and say, hey, guys, we built this thing. And everybody's like, oh, my word, now what, you know? And what's your motive here? Like, what are you doing? So you want people to always feel that they know enough about what you're doing, what's happening, and that you're asking for responses, you're asking for feedback. You're saying, hey, you want to test this, you want to tell us what you think, you know, that kind of thing. And then people feel, okay, that's engaging. And then the other part that I place a lot of emphasis on is fun. So I run a lot of events that are fun activations and events, and we use various things. We celebrate Halloween and we do all sorts of things in the office setup that then just makes it more real for people to connect and to engage with. And one of the reasons behind that is most of what we do, almost everything else that we do is obviously very serious, right? Not that innovation is not serious, but it's important for people to also feel like there's an element of comfort and fun around what you're trying to achieve as well. I learned this a long time ago that people are only really creative when they're having fun, when they feel that they are invited, genuinely, you know, invited to be a part of something. And when people feel that there is going to be an outcome. So when they see those things, then they want to be a part of something. Otherwise, it's just news. You know, it's just like, okay, kind of heard about that. I can tell you, though, that in what I'm saying, I've proven that it works. I mean, in what I've done these past couple of years now, it's worked. We have an enormously strong culture of innovation. We have people that are always willing to help, whether it comes to testing or feedback or whatever it might be. And we have a track record of delivering stuff back into the business as well. So I really think that has made a huge difference to the culture, but it also made a huge difference for innovation, right? Because when I get that positivity back from the business, then I know what I'm doing must be right. It must be making a difference. So I think it works both ways.
You know, you talk about a little bit about mentoring, but I guess if you were to have a conversation with someone else, you know, who's trying to foster this culture of innovation within their space, not maybe not necessarily financial services, but other industries. I guess you've mentioned a few things, but what would be your kind of number one piece of advice that you'd give them about fostering the culture of innovation? Is that the stuff that you were mentioning before, or is it something different?
I think the number one thing for me is it is culture. You've got to build a culture that is supportive of what you're trying to do. Because unlike the other functions where it's very clear, everybody knows what marketing does. Everybody knows what sales does. Everybody knows what finance does. So there's very clear outcomes. You can see what these guys do. Innovation is very vague. And so people are always questioning, what exactly do you do? You know, and when do we see something that you've built or delivered? Now, that's only going to happen if you're actually delivering stuff. So you're running experiments, you're delivering stuff. But that will only succeed if you have a culture that is accepting of these things that you are building and trying to bring back into this business. So culture is critical, I think. Without the culture, you've gone very quickly. Because what's going to happen is people are going to, you're always going to be at odds with other people. People are not going to be accepting of what you're trying to do, and you're going to frustrate yourself into you know, just kind of wondering, like, what do I do to convince people of the value here? So I think it's very important we build a very strong culture. And you've got to get, it's not everybody. Not everybody will be your supporters, but you need to get a decent number of supporters. People who want to, you know, they want to see the function succeed. It's not about the person, right? They want to see the function succeed. These are people who embrace change. They want, they know that there's more and that can be done, and they see the value, and they want to support that. So I think that culture is very important. And once you get that going, you've got to be experimenting all the time. You've got to be engaging all the time. You do not want to be seen as a one-hit wonder. Yeah. Came and did that song that went to number one and then nobody heard about you ever again. You can't do that, because that then is going to kill the culture, right? People are going to say, but then that was just like total luck. So you don't want to do that. So you've got to keep the culture going and keep the experiments going. And that means you're engaging people and you're showing them real value. And I've yet to come across anybody who kind of disagrees with that, or anybody who thinks it kind of would work differently. And I know this because I've tried different, by the way. So learned the hard way that different is, when it comes to innovation, you got to be very careful about also not sort of replicating what's already happening in the business. So if I were to behave like a typical operational area that churns out projects, you know, every couple of months in a business, that would be a problem, because now it seems like there's duplicate functions, right? So you've got to be aware of that, and also realize that innovation, the expectations are different. You can't say, guys, we built an app. Everybody will be like, okay, great. You got to tell them why this is different, why this is not a normal app, and what it does differently, and how it's actually innovative. I think that's the part that most people have trouble with. Is building stuff is one thing, but making it really innovative and different is a whole different, you know, different ballgame. Yeah, so I know I said a lot there, but I think that advice I would give to anybody is, yeah, culture and experiment.
Almost last question, building on that, you know, talking about those early adopters, the ones you want to get on your side first, is there, or have you seen, is there a specific kind of type of person that you can spot? Or they're like, oh, they're probably an early adopter. Or is it kind of a specific role that you kind of have an inkling of, like, they're likely to be quite acceptive of innovation? Is it top down, bottom up? I don't know. Just what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So what I found is people that are your early adopters are people who have lots of ideas, but they haven't had, or they haven't been encouraged, or they haven't been given a safe space to kind of share those ideas. So these are people who are inherently creative, or, you know, they look at things and they say, well, this could be better, or why do we do it in this way? Or they question stuff, right? But they have normal roles as in, like, you know, sales, marketing, whatever it is. And so they don't really get to use these ideas in other spaces because they're in a function, right? And so what I find is when you give these people a way to express themselves, and when you, genuinely listen to them and you want to see how you can explore their ideas and their talents, that's when it really starts to make a difference. And those become your early supporters and adopters because they already embrace change. So you're not trying to make them see something they don't already inherently see. What you're doing is you are, you're shaping what's already there. They already have that sort of thinking within themselves already, that they want to see things change. They want to see innovative stuff. They think things could be different. Now, what I found is very interesting on that point, Fisha, is that it could be anybody. So I've seen people that are very senior, people even close to retirement, that are very, very supportive of innovation. You'll be amazed. And then you get, obviously, people who are very young, just, you know, starting out in their careers, and they're like, yo, this place is crazy. Lots needs to change. That kind of thing. So they all across the business that you'd find these different types. And what's very interesting that I find as well is a lot of them are also they're more open to putting themselves out there. So they're willing to support, and not just support, but support quite vocally, that, you know, they think this is what should be happening in the business, or this is why they think change is important, and that sort of things, which I think is really great, because those people influence others, and they are kind of what, you know, sort of they kind of bond that culture that you're looking for in terms of innovation.
I think that's fantastic. And you can definitely see the ones who kind of are questioning things and being vocal about questioning it. It's almost like you want to tap into them first and see what they're saying and thinking. Amazing. But so we've heard a lot about kind of the stuff that you do with innovation and kind of your expertise. We have a few, you know, final quick fire questions to learn a little bit more about you. Not necessarily like the stuff that you do, but a little bit about you. But I'll jump straight in. So the first question is, you know, do you think your friends could explain what you do?
My friends could explain what I do. They would probably tell you that I sell insurance. So to a lot of my friends, it's a mystery to them as to how innovation even exists in the financial services business, let alone anything else. I think they do know what I do. It's innovation. They've seen some stuff, so they have a pretty good idea. But I must say, they do find it quite strange. Because innovation, financial services traditionally don't go together.
And I guess a quick fire question that's an obvious lead from that. What would you want them to say?
Oh, what do I want them to say? So I probably would want them to say that I'm changing the world a little bit in my little island of financial services at the moment. But I really think, Keisha, that wherever you innovate, you leave something that is a bit better than what it was. And then there's opportunities for people to do that in maybe other industries also, as well as maybe even in the same industry, to just carry on, because, you know, things will just constantly be changing. So I think that's what I would want them to say, is that, you know, I'm doing stuff that's making a difference, that's changing what is known to be a very complex industry.
My next question to you is, what's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given?
So I think the best piece of advice I've been given is that there's a difference between noise and music. And what that means is that, so music is made from harmony, as you know, right? And noise is just random. And I think, so what that means to me is basically in innovation, you get a lot of noise from a lot of people and from within the function itself, because it's a little bit of a chaotic environment, right? Because you're trying different things, things are working, not working, and, you know, you're looking at what's the opportunities. And so there's a lot of decision points, a lot of decisions happening all the time. And then you get a lot of noise from external parties, obviously, because while you have supporters, and, you know, I spoke about a lot about the culture, you do get a lot of detractors. You do get a lot of people saying, you know, questioning stuff just because, with nothing real to actually contribute. And that's noise. So the advice I was given was to focus on the music, focus on the harmony, not the noise, because the noise will always be there. If you ask people to criticize something, they don't even have to blink. They can start criticizing immediately, no matter what it might be, anything at all. But if you ask them, how do you make something better, then you find that almost everybody goes silent. And there's one or two who will actually apply themselves and think about ways that things can be better. So that's what you got to look for. Focus on those. The noise will always be the noise. Don't dwell there. Don't put too much of effort into that. That will always come.
I've got two more questions for you. The first one is, what's something that you couldn't live without?
Definitely my family. The other would be my laptop.
That's fair. Absolutely fair.
Without my laptop, there's very little I could do for my family.
Wonderful. Well, I have one final question for you. It's a question that gets asked to everyone on the podcast. Ajahn, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you and why?
Well, I'm not weird at all. I think you can just ask like my dancing cats.
I like that. That's very funny.
Okay. To actually answer your question, I'm pretty weird. I've very, very varied interests, and I do a lot of things that I wouldn't say is very expected. So to give you some idea, I don't know how it depends how you define weird, right? But I would say I do a lot of, I cook a lot. I enjoy cooking. I do a lot of gardening. I plant a lot of plants. I do a lot of vegetable gardening. I do a lot of what's the other thing? I do a lot of like carpentry and construction and those sort of things. And then I, you know, also will do a lot of things with technology, right? You know, computers, those sort of things. So, yeah, so may not generally be weird, but probably a little bit unexpected, because I do a lot of different things. I'm somebody that has to be busy, just cannot be not doing anything. That's probably a bit of a, maybe a little bit of a weird thing about my character, but yeah, just cannot be idle.
I think for me that the thing about you're doing a lot of things, it makes sense. It's very kind of, you are very much a maker-doer, hands-on. And that goes with the experimentation and the innovation side. It's kind of testing stuff out, trying things. It's not just theory, it's making stuff happen. So that makes sense to me. It ties in.
Now, well, I suppose it does. It does to some extent. But yeah, it also is, what people tell me, it's a very busy mind. You know, it's looking for things all the time. It's always trying to connect stuff and do stuff. And
I guess that's how innovation works. But yes, thank you so much for kind of coming on the podcast and giving us, you know, a bit of insight into how innovation happens and kind of what you've been thinking about. It's been truly fascinating. So thank you so, so much.
You're welcome, Keisha, and thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.